The UK Report.
Gavin Gray is back. Gavin, I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful break. We start this morning with Italian police arresting a gunman suspected of carrying out a drive-by shooting spree that targeted African immigrants.
Indeed. Morning, Africa. Morning, everyone. Yes, I'm afraid I might have been away a couple of weeks, but the news doesn't seem to get any cheerier, at least this story, where a 28-year-old man who had an Italian flag wrapped around his neck has been detained. He's been named locally as Luca Treni, and basically he's the man suspected of shooting in a drive-by spree, basically targeting African migrants. He'd actually taken part in regional elections for the Anti-Immigration Northern League party last year, and when he was arrested, made a fascist salute. Italy votes in national elections on the 4th of March, and immigration is one of the very, very key issues here. That's why I think this is gaining so many headlines around the world this morning. The mayor had warned people to stay indoors during the incident, which lasted a couple of hours. Basically, the victims have been treated in hospital. One of them is said to be in a serious condition. The suspect is reported not to have put up a fight, just held his hands in the air when police arrived. But shots were fired, and it does appear that basically somebody was driving around town in a car shooting at people. A 29-year-old Nigerian male migrant has been detained recently over the killing of a woman and in the same sort of area. Local reports are linking the two incidents, that this might have been some sort of a revenge attack, but we don't know at the moment. But immigration, race, the far right, all playing very big parts as these elections now count down in Italy, just 1 month away.
In the meantime, a British man who drove a van into a crowd of Muslims near a London mosque has been found guilty of murder.
Yes, this you'll remember we reported on at the time shocked the UK, because I think it was really the first major anti-Muslim attack, following, of course, all the recent headlines, Islamic State, September the 11th, that sort of thing. This happened in June last year in Finsbury Park in North London, and a 48-year-old man from Cardiff ploughed a van into worshippers outside a mosque during Ramadan. Now, it's a very unusual case, actually, because although he has been found guilty of murder and attempted murder, sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 43 years, so he'll be 90 before he can be considered for release. Actually, the person who was murdered had just collapsed in the street shortly before the being rammed by a van. It was harrowing evidence for the relatives, because this man's family obviously listened in. He had collapsed, but was still breathing. But after the van attack had stopped breathing, and the prosecutors decided, no, this is murder and attempted murder. And they're saying there's no doubt this was a terrorist attack. Indeed, the jury came back with less than an hour to deciding their verdict. The excuse that the 48-year-old driver of the van came up with was frankly laughable. He said it was a mate called Dave who had been driving, but then Dave ran off. He didn't know where Dave lived, and obviously I think the jury saw straight through this. And incidentally, as he was being prepared to sentence, it was revealed that he'd also had about more than 100 other minor crimes behind him before this one.
A rather bizarre story. A UK air ambulance crew landed on a building site to treat a heart attack patient. They were ordered to move their helicopter because they broke health and safety rules.
Yes, I'm afraid from the weird but true fact file this week, this is all about, in certain parts of the UK where there are concerns about getting ambulances to rural areas, they are using helicopters, and often these are actually charitably funded. In this particular instance, this was landing in Leamington Spa, which is in the Midlands of the UK, and somebody had collapsed. A man had collapsed in a building, but opposite the building was a housing development that had only partially been completed. The helicopter pilot, having been called to the emergency, was looking for somewhere to land nearby. There was nowhere, so I thought, that's a good space. That home site that hasn't been completed. Plenty of areas where I could land the helicopter safely. As he did so, and they were running out to try to find the man who collapsed to try and rescue his life, the saleswoman from the site of the new building, home building area, ran out and said, "You can't leave that here, that helicopter. It's basically breaking health and safety rules. We've got people working here. There are sharp implements, all sorts of things." And onlookers said, you know, they're remonstrating with this woman, saying, "This is mad. This person's trying to save this person's life. The helicopter's not in any danger. The people aren't around in any danger. They're not going to run up to this helicopter." But the woman continued haranguing them as they treated this person. Thankfully, the man who had collapsed and was treated by the paramedics went to hospital and remains in a stable condition. And the house building company who employ the saleswoman who remonstrated with the ambulance crew, I say, look, she did what she thinks was right. She was raising concerns for public safety, and health and safety is of paramount importance on all the sites. But I think many people would think this was slightly going beyond the remit.
No, for sure. Before we go on to the next story, Gavin, just to give a quick update, we are playing in the final of the Rugby Sevens down in Hamilton in New Zealand. South Africa are currently leading 17-12. They're playing against Fiji with 4 minutes and 20 seconds left. Unfortunately, we've just had Branko Dupriya being sent to the sin bin, which means he'll be there for 2 minutes before he's allowed to come back in. And we do know that in the semi-final against Australia, it was the taking one of our players to the sin bin that gave Australia an opportunity to get into the match, even though they were being dominated up until that point. So 4 minutes remaining. South Africa are 17 to 12 playing Fiji in the cup final of the Hamilton Sevens. Back to issues of safety. A British scaffolder could be jailed after he was photographed working at 60 feet wearing a harness that isn't secure to anything.
Yes, so more than 18 meters above the ground, and under strict health and safety rules on any building site, if you're anywhere sort of vaguely high, you've got to have a harness on which should be attached to something. This 27-year-old scaffolder, who was working in Manchester in the northwest of England, had a harness on, but it wasn't attached to anything. He was sort of pretending it was, if you like, and it is no doubt much quicker to work without a harness, but it's certainly not safe. But sadly for him, and I suppose gladly for health and safety, a former retired health and safety worker was in a building opposite, saw what was going on, I suppose once health and safety officer, always a health and safety officer, and took pictures of the man wandering around on the scaffolding, all these meters in the air, not attached to anything, and informed the health and safety executive, his former colleagues who were still working. And yes, I'm afraid he has now been warned he could be jailed, and he could be jailed for up to 6 months after admitting the crime. His stunt happened. He was constructing scaffolding at the rear of a building as part of a plan to renovate the windows, and the photo shows him looking directly into the offices of the Crown Prosecution Service, which occupies some of the building. Well, he's certainly going to see them at close hand now.
Fiji leading 19-17, having scored, and that being converted, 2 minutes and 24 seconds remaining. Explain to me how Poland's Senate can approve a controversial bill making it illegal to accuse the Polish nation or state of complicity in the Nazi Holocaust.
Yes, this has really caused a lot of problems, and indeed Israel has really been very vocal in its criticism of this. Basically, anyone who mentions things like Polish Nazi war camps, because of course a lot of the death camps in the Second World War were in Poland. They were in Poland, but not run by the Polish. And that's really the differential which the Polish nation is trying to intervene in here. And in a big way, because this bill amendment sets fines of huge fines or a 3-year jail term as punishment. They say they want to defend historical truth. But Israeli MPs saying, look, this is ridiculous because they're strengthening Holocaust denial laws. They're saying, yes, Poland suffered terribly in the World War. Yes, some Poles did help Jews escape. But they're also saying that that was not entirely the Polish population. Some in Poland were implicated in these death camps, and that's therefore their argument as to why this is a bad law. So although Poland has long objected to phrases like Polish death camps that suggest in some way the Polish state shared responsibility for the camps, like Auschwitz, of course they were built and operated by the Nazis in 1939, this contentious point really raised by the bill is whether references to acts of individual complicity by Poles with the Nazis, something that historians say there is very clear evidence for, is now going to be against the law to mention it.
Police in Spain recovering 4 tons of stolen oranges?
Yes, this is a lovely story, if only just the sheer cheek of people. So police in Spain begin following a car acting slightly suspiciously, very low on its axles as they're following it. They decide to pull it over, and when they do and open the doors, huge quantities of oranges spill out onto the road, like something from a sort of, I suppose, a Laurel and Hardy film. Another car nearby is acting suspiciously. They pull it over, and the same thing happens. They then discover a van nearby. In total, 4 tons of oranges. Now, to give you some indication, I mean, well, look, 4 tons is a lot of oranges. And when questioned, the men driving the car said, ah, well, this is personal consumption. And we've picked them up. These are windfalls. But as you can imagine, the police said, hang on a minute, these aren't windfalls. They look in good condition. You've got 4,000 kilograms here of fruit. Where did you get them from? Oh, well, we've been picking them up along the side of the road, they continued. But, of course, the police then said that this is nonsense. They made inquiries and discovered the fruit had been stolen from a warehouse in a nearby town. Police, incidentally, said the suspects didn't have the required paperwork to be transporting such a large quantity of fruit and had consequently been arrested. Frankly, Africa, it just gives me the pip.
It does indeed. Gavin Gray, thank you very much. Lovely to have you back. He'll be back with us again next week, Sunday.